and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have appropriate professionals in our studio live today. Welcome to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. The gang from Prout is back with a special guest. We welcome back Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. Welcome aboard, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you so much, Ron. On Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, and just excited. We have a lot of information to be sharing today. We're going to talk about how to stay on track for and in retirement, things you want to think about before and during as you're contemplating and or working through your own retirement life and lifestyles. We have here with us Heidi Thompson, financial planner for Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Right, Heidi.
I can't hear you so well.
There we are.
There we are. Good. All right. So next is our financial. It's kind of an interesting track to turn to. Let's talk about finance and all the rest and retirement after Christmas. Opinion, 10 things I wish I knew about retirement before I retired. So we've got three articles here. We've got a ton of information about talking about retirement. And I'm going to cover a few of these points from this particular article that I think may be helpful to you in terms of thinking about retirement and what that could look like. So long-term care. This gentleman who writes this article from MarketWatch says, after watching my father struggle for 3 years with cancer, I know the importance of having some sort of long-term care plan. So most people really don't like to think about long-term care when it comes to retirement, but the risks financially are significant. So when you're thinking about retirement, you should always think about the long-term care issue, because often, especially if you anticipate living longer, your chances of needing some kind of care or assistance or help only increases as you get older. Well, Dennis, it seems like it kind of makes sense, right? Yeah, it does, but it is the case. It's statistically accurate. So think about, do I want insurance? Do I need insurance? Should I think about that? Do I already have some coverage? That's a double plus for anyone who happens to have long-term care coverage right now.
Didn't you say at one time the insurance companies are, well, fewer companies are offering that type of insurance?
Yes, very few. And so it's a relatively narrow group of companies that are offering. Many of them now offer some kind of a lump sum kind of program where you can actually have a life insurance as well as long-term care coverage from the policy. And others offer some kind of a perhaps annuity plan with a long-term care rider where you can actually draw from those accounts and get a significant increase in the lump sum that you put in itself if you need that sum for long-term care. What does that mean? Many times in these kinds of policies, without going too far into the weeds, you can get 5 to 7 times the amount that you actually invest for long-term care coverage. Now, often, if you're purchasing that in your 60s, most likely you're not going to need it for 20 to 30 years. That's how they're able to cover the cost of a policy like that. But most of the other policies that existed a few years back in terms of paying for this as you go on a monthly basis, those have mostly been removed from the landscape because way too many people hung onto their policies. The costs for long-term care were much greater than the companies anticipated, and they were most of them have had significant cuts to their care and or their benefits for those types of policies. So right. That is a very much a moving landscape.
So those policies that you may be familiar with because your parents had them, those are what we're talking about, have sort of gone away.
Yes.
And Dennis has mentioned some of the new things, some hybrid products that companies are trying to come in with to cover that gap. But there's a couple of different things that you can do in strategies. And the best thing is just to try to think through it and sort of have a plan or find out what can you do.
So. Yes. And or the other point is speak to an elder care attorney about that future and what kind of planning that you might possibly do if you get to that point. Elder care attorneys often have, I'll just say, arrows in their quiver that you may not have thought about related to long-term care. Number two, lots of free time. Many thought that they'd have lots of free time, and you can't believe how busy they are now that they're actually retired. So that lots of free time component may be not really the case. Not really the case. And then some other quotes. Number three, investment strategy. I found it's more difficult to manage your investments after you retire. Specifically, you talked about the accumulation phase versus the decumulation phase. How do I make certain that I'm not taking too much risk in my portfolio, and especially from those components that are providing me income? I don't want to try to draw income from a roller coaster account. Now, we all know that the market doesn't fluctuate very much, right? Right, Ron? Very little, right?
Exactly. Look at the last year for an example.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So, given that you're trying to draw income from an account like that, you can see how it can possibly decimate your rates of return. Because you're drawing from that account, you're not letting it accumulate. You're not pushing that proverbial elephant or camel ahead. Okay. We use the camel description here because Rick was just here talking about it. For those of you who
it all comes together,
particular illustration. Thank you, Ron, for helping me there.
I like the way he called the camel a diva. He was talking about they had to build a
before
special
the show. Yes.
A special shed for it because it doesn't like to be out in the rain.
He said as soon as its head gets wet, it goes back
to the barn.
He said it starts making all these weird sounds and it's like got to go home, you know. So they built a place for it to stay so that its head wouldn't get wet.
Right.
Indeed. All right. Number four, taxes. I never really thought about the effect of taxes on my retirement. I knew I'd have to pay taxes in my traditional IRA and all that, but I didn't realize that my taxable income would impact my Social Security benefit and my Medicare premiums. So the tax equation changes at retirement. Consult with your tax advisor, someone like a John Sluice. How are my taxes going to change? What will my landscape look like? How will I do this? What if I'm drawing income from my IRA and I'm paying Medicare premiums? Could my Medicare premiums go up? Yes, if your income is too high. All right? So keep in mind that some of the cost, including Social Security taxes, taxes on your Social Security benefits, could be higher than what you'd anticipated. Well, I had no idea I'd pay taxes on my Social Security benefits. Yes, they're up to 85% taxable. Correct, Heidi?
That is correct.
Thank you. Nice to be right once in a while. I mean, really. So, number four, we just discussed taxes. And we'll discuss a few more points, and then we'll. Heidi has four tax planning end of year deadlines that are rapidly approaching.
Just a little review of some things.
There you go.
Yep.
Fixed expenses. This gentleman says, I can't tell you how much better it is to retire with very few fixed expenses. What he's talking about is mortgage payments, debt payments, those payments that are required. If you can and disengage from those, I'm trying to think of that word and illustrate it appropriately here on the radio. If you can disengage yourself, pay those things off. You won't believe, because stress increases at retirement about money. It's just how we're wired. So if you can approach retirement with no or very little debt, you free yourself from a lot of cares and concerns as it relates to that retirement income. It just inherently makes you more flexible to help you control your expenses. Think about this. The equivalent value of a $1,500 payment that you don't have, what you'd have to have in retirement assets to give you that income? Well, according to my quick figures here in the top of my head, that's about $18,000 a year. $18,000 a year divided by, well, let's just use a, you know, a general number, shall we, in terms of a withdrawal strategy that we might take advantage of. If we were to do that and say, well, okay, I need $18,000 a year, and I'm drawing at a rate of 4.5%. I need about $400,000 in that lump sum to give me that appropriate withdrawal rate to satisfy the $18,000. And that's not at all considering taxes. If that's all taxable, then obviously that number is even higher. Mm. So you see, if your mortgage is, for instance, $70,000, and you're thinking about paying it off early, obviously that's a much easier task to accomplish than growing an asset to $400,000. The equivalent values are very disparate. Disparate, the word of the day.
Disparate.
Or disparate, as some people might say.
Not that parrot, but disparate.
I'm not sure that's whoever
this
he was.
Parrot, not that parrot. Gotcha.
So because they're so different, what I'm saying is this. Think about the value of not having that continual debt to pay. Would you agree, Heidi?
Yes. And another thing that to think about, too, I talked, a lot of people have that question. They ask that question in our meetings about paying off homes. And so another thing to think about, too, is your car. If you're planning to retire, if you buy a car a couple of years before you retire and you're able to pay that off, that just reduces those fixed expenses that you have in your budget. So,
great point. Thank
so
you.
Your fixed expenses ideally would be your utilities,
yes,
including the cell phone, internet stuff, whatever your TV, whatever you pay there, your taxes,
healthcare.
Then, yeah, would be the big one. So you want to try to go just with that.
Yeah, but keep them as low as possible. It gives you more flexibility then that you can react and pivot to different changes in legislation or taxes, and just helps you be a little bit more
flexible.
Flexible.
Disparate. Oh, no, that's not the word.
No.
Yeah. disparate, by the way, means markedly distinct in quality or character. So I meant disparate. The distinctiveness between the two.
Got there. It.
Just checking on Miriam there to make sure she's...
Just to be clear.
Correct for this one time. All right. So great. Fixed expenses. Really take a look at those. Second, but sixth altogether. Yeah. Retiring together. Is there someone else in your household? This can be a difficult time for couples. Should we talk about this?
Yes.
During your working years, you weren't with your significant other as much as you might be now. I love this example. Well, you know, I tend to like, real quiet in the morning. She likes to blare the TV and hear what's going on, you know, in the world today. Well, I like it quiet. I like to sip my coffee and sit next to the fire and read, you know, smoke a little toki or whatever. So you get that. It's just sometimes we have different attitudes about those things. So being together that much may be an adjustment. You may want to talk about this. Honey, where will you live once we're retired?
I'm looking for a garage, dear.
So whatever that might be, however you can get some distance between yourselves, you may want to think about that. Next, need for friends. I thought this was a great point. Fellowship. I didn't appreciate how important friends are until I retired, this gentleman says. Couldn't agree more. We need that kind of interaction with other people that we like and can commiserate with.
Well, I think the pandemic's pointed that out too, because a lot of places where we saw people that are friends and we
family.
Did things together, now it's just not the same, and you don't have those casual run-ins to people that you did before.
Right. So. Dave and Kim are our buddies, and he's got the most amazing sense of humor. Anyway, we have lots of fun getting together with them, and they're one of the few couples we still can. So, boy, that can make a really nice difference. Retirement can be stressful. I thought when I retired, my life would involve fewer worries. So I've been taking care of an elderly parent. He goes on to talk about some of our other responsibilities that we may encounter may involve some more stress and be concerned about them and or other issues, of course. And then healthcare expenses, these cannot be understated. That's why we run financial plans for people who aren't quite sure. Well, I know we've saved and saved and saved, but are we going to have enough? Given have we counted what those expenses are and what things should we be thinking of about, perhaps that we don't. I love the combination or almost axiom or example, if you will, of thinking about traveling. If you ask the hotelier or the person they're greeting you in the hotel, okay, what things should I know about this place and what about breakfast? And if you ask the right questions, it's amazing the amount of information you get back. The same thing, you want to ask those types of questions of your financial advisor. What am I missing? What am I missing about retirement that I should be thinking about? Okay? And obviously, you can gauge how important those are to you, but that's key. And the big thing, most retirees don't get the difference in Social Security incomes, waiting even a few years that can make in their overall retirement security. Now, two, I'll just say the fixed expenses, as we've discussed. Three, healthcare costs, the biggies, all right? And our own, if I can say a fourth one, you know, just right off the top of the head, changes in health and or activities don't occur on a decade-by-decade basis. They occur by event. And an older gentleman who attended a class some time ago said that to me, and I thought it was a great point. He said, Dennis, he said, I always thought it was going to happen by decade. You know, 60s, I'd be doing this, 70s, that. He said, I was shocked. You know, 67, this happened and that happened. And he said, all of a sudden, we weren't nearly as interested in traveling as we thought we might be. So those changes can happen rather dramatically and quickly. So take advantage of the time you have now. Now is the time, if you can, okay?
And it remind people, you are reading from 10 Things I Wish I Knew About Retirement Before I Retired.
Yes.
But I want to interrupt momentarily. We had a text question.
Sure.
How do you know whether to take your pension lump sum or by monthly distribution? My monthly payments would get cut in half upon my death, or my monthly payments to my wife would be cut in half upon my death, is the question and situation here.
Oh, that's a toughie. And the way that I would say that is, so what are they offering you in terms of the lump sum? How much do you need for income? And how does that compare to the equivalent amounts that you're getting on a monthly basis? So what does that mean? Run illustrations from companies that can give you a pension-like payment. And take a look at what that equivalent value is. We can run that relatively quickly just using our calculator in the office. So that's not an easy question I can answer on the radio, but that is a key component question. Many times, not all the time, these companies are trying to get away from their liability of having to pay you that monthly income. So it may be a good value. It may not at all for you be a good value to take that lump sum. There was a major company, I'll just say, in the Traverse City area that was offering payouts a few years back, every retiree that had that monthly income, I said, do not take that lump sum. That is not a good value for you. Don't accept it. Insist on keeping that pension. To every person that came in, that was an easy one because they weren't offering the appropriate equivalent lump sum for that income that was going to be coming to them, guaranteed for life, okay?
And we see it both ways. Sometimes it's a good, better deal, and sometimes it isn't.
Yes.
But you don't know until you run the numbers.
Yes. So you really have to take a look at what's the lump sum, what's my life expectancy approximately, what's the outside in the life expectancy. A lot of those variables can make a big difference. And that's where we can come in and help if you'd like us to. Do we need to take another break here before Heidi begins with the end of year tax planning here, Ron?
Did we? So health, you got through the last tip then there, right?
I did. That's what,
I've got a, was it healthcare cost?
Healthcare
right?
cost, a right. big surprise. And we run that in the financial plan and still surprises me when I think about those numbers and how big they can be. Okay.
Yep.
All right. More, and if people want to know more on that, that's your website or whatever at some point.
Website though? And or if they'd like to contact us, 231-947-3992 or Meg, MEG@proutfinancialdesign.com. She's responsible for scheduling.
Okay, so taking a look at four tax break deadlines that are approaching. So before we get to 2021, there are a few things that you might be thinking about doing, but let's look at those deadlines. One is the CARES Act that passed this year. It changed the rules for this year only on a couple of items, and one is the coronavirus-related distribution. And this is where you can take up to $100,000 out of your 401k or your IRAs. And one of the nice provisions of this is you can take it out without the 10% penalty if you're under 59 and a half. Without this exception, you know, there's a 10% penalty if you take money out of your retirement accounts. And the other provision that helps with this is you can spread that tax, because you'll still have to pay the income tax, but you can spread that over 3 years, which will make it a little more maybe palatable to be able to do. So if you had a financial need and you have been affected by the coronavirus, you have to meet one of their provisions, you can take this money out to meet that need and spread the tax over 3 years. And that expires on December 30th, not December 31st, but December 30th.
So you're saying you could take up to $100,000 out by December 30th?
Correct.
And if you, the income tax on that, you can spread out over 3 years?
Correct.
And there's no penalty for taking that out of your 401k?
401k or IRA. Okay.
Yep. It's an amazing option, and it's something like this has never been offered before from retirement accounts, and offering this kind of way to spread out the tax or pay the sum back without having to pay any tax at all, if you like. Mm-hmm. Lots of flexibility there.
All right, so tip number two are your qualified charitable distributions. This is where you take money from an IRA and directly send it to a charity, and you avoid all the income tax in that transaction. So it helps you by being able to contribute to something that you would like to support, and you can avoid claiming that income on your own tax return. Now, a lot of people will offset their required minimum distributions with a QCD, but this year with the CARES Act, there are no RMDs required. So some people may have forgotten that you can still do that QCD even if you don't have an RMD. So
the best money to give to charity is money that is 100% taxable when you're going to draw it out. And what money would that be? IRAs. IRAs. Mm-hmm. In a regular or a traditional IRA. Best money to give to a charity, period. You turn it from 100% taxable to 0% taxable. Just like that.
And a lot of us do give to charities at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And so just keep that in mind, that if you're going to do that, you might want to do it through the IRA so that you don't have to pay tax.
But you have to be 70 and a half to do
that.
Correct.
This is only for people.
0.5. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes,
Ron. You say at one time part of the CARES Act, or if you're filing the simple form now because you're as a married couple, your deductible amount's like $26,000 or something?
So your standard deduction is about $25,000 or so as a couple. Yes.
So if you make charitable donations, you don't have to save those and claim them.
You couldn't deduct them anyway.
Right.
Right.
But didn't you say this year you could go up to $300? You could add that on?
Yep.
It's not a lot, but it's something you could do.
That is correct. That's in the CARES Act.
Okay.
Yep. And like you were saying, if you wanted to give money to the charity and your standard deduction is so high now that maybe you gave more than $300, if you do it through your IRA, at least you get a benefit of not having to pay tax on that money that you would if you have to take it out in the future. So a little bit of strategy there.
You bet.
Okay, moving right along. Another thing we've talked a lot about this year on the show is the Roth conversion.
Ah, yes.
So the Roth conversion is when you take money that is in a traditional IRA and you convert it over to a Roth IRA. And because you're taking it from a pre-tax account to an after-tax account, you have to pay income tax on the amount you convert. But after that, the Roth IRA will grow tax-exempt.
At this year's historically low tax brackets, that's why you want to consider that. Because as we've said, about 80,000 of taxable income is still at a 12% federal tax bracket, and we'll probably see a 2 to 3% increase for all tax brackets next year, whether it's in the tax itself, rather, or items that become non-deductible. Right. All right.
And Roth conversions can be done for any amount. There's no limit on that, and or any amount, or you can do it multiple years. But remember, the tax year that you do the conversion is when that tax will have to be paid. It's not like contributions. It has a different deadline, so it's a calendar year transaction.
And that is a common misconception. Common. Well, I thought I couldn't do Roth conversions because, you know, I don't have earned income. Roth conversions have nothing to do with earned income or lack thereof. A Roth conversion can be done by anyone who has an IRA and wants to convert it to a Roth IRA.
So you can
as long as you're willing to pay the tax.
You can be under 59 and a half. You can be over 70 anytime.
Any age.
Yep. All righty.
All righty. And number four?
Number four, this is just a real quick note for people who have company stock in their 401ks. There is a way to get that company stock out without paying as much tax. There's a strategy. It's called NUA. And if you are doing something like that, there is a hard and fast stop at the end of the year that all the money from the 401k has to be distributed. This is a complex tax strategy. Ideas, so you want to consult with either your tax professional or your financial advisor to help you with this. But there's a hard and fast stop that everything has to be out or you do not get that tax break.
Okay. We've seen clients save hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax
wow.
through that one strategy, NUA or net unrealized appreciation, for those who happen to have highly appreciated individual stock holdings in their 401k. An awesome strategy. Thank
yep.
you, Heidi.
And all that information is from Ed Slott.
You bet. All right. Take a break.
We're going to do Shea Stats.
Shea Stats. If you've got time, yeah. let's do the Shea Stats.
Let's
Thank
check
you.
Out. Shea is not with us live in the studio, right. but has left behind this quality recording of her Shea Stats this week.
Hello. Are you ready for some Shea Stats? Well, I've got them. Believe it or not, in November, the S&P 500 has gained 11.4% month-to-date total return, and that is through November 27th of 2020, a performance better than 99.7% of the last 360 months, and that is from BTN Research. From its March 23rd, 2020 bear market low of $23.4 trillion, the total capitalization of the U.S. stock market has climbed $16.4 trillion to $39.8 trillion as of the close of trading last Friday on November 27th of 2020, and that stat is from Wilshire. So I have to ask, is this you? 62% of the average net worth of an American household comes from just two assets— the equity they have built up in their home, and the value of their retirement accounts. And that is from the Census Bureau. Here's a less taxes stat. This is from 2010. There's $250,000 of taxable income on a joint return in 2010 created $60,281 of federal income tax. In 2020, $250,000 of taxable income on a joint return creates $48,159 of federal income tax. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And that source is from the IRS. The average price of gasoline was $2.12 a gallon as of last Friday, the 27th of November of 2020. The average price of gasoline hasn't closed a calendar year that low since finishing in 2015 at $2 a gallon, and that source is AAA. There have been just three U.S. presidents in the last 75 years who were elected to a first term in office but then failed to win their re-election bid for a second term. That was Jimmy Carter in November of 1980, George H.W. Bush in November of 1992, and, of course, Donald Trump in November of 2020, and that's from BTN Research. Well, this one I found a little bit ironic, we'll say. Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton 306-232 in the Electoral College in 2016, but then lost to Joe Biden 306-232 in the Electoral College in 2020. I guess that evens things out. Source there, the Electoral College. Thanks and have a great week.
All right, Shea Pataja with the Shea Stats from Prout Financial Design. Until next week.
All right.
Appreciate it, Ron. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Prout, Ron.
Proutfinancialdesign.com, a good way to connect with anything that you need.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.